Have you ever wondered whether you're not good enough to follow Jesus? Have you ever wondered whether your life doesn't match up to the heroes of the faith that we read about in the Bible, or the people that we read about in church history even? Or maybe you think, well, my life's just not like the people around me in church, so how could I follow God? Maybe it is that you're tuning in for the first time, you're looking in on faith, dipping your toe into this whole Christianity thing, and you're going, but even if I was interested in God, why would he be interested in me? Because of my flaws, because of my backstory, because of all the things that I get wrong all the time. This summer at St. Philip's, we're going to be looking at flawed followers and a gracious God. We believe that God accepts us exactly as we are, flaws and all. He sent Jesus to die in our place that we might be forgiven of all our wrongdoing. And then he enlists us into his family as part of his community and says, go and bring this kingdom to the world. We want you to leave encouraged that your life has significance in the kingdom, whatever has happened in its past. We want you to know that whatever isn't going quite right here and now can be forgiven by Jesus. And we want you to leave in awe of a gracious God, a God who loves us, who accepts us, who forgives us, who makes us better versions of ourselves, and then says, go and be my ambassadors in the world. That's what we're going to be looking at through this summer. We hope that it's going to be transformative for you and for the life of our community. And to start with today, we're going to be reading this passage about Elisha and the Shunammite woman. We've already seen that video of it earlier in worship. We're now going to hear it read to us by Johnny. And if you want to follow along, it's 2 Kings chapter 4, starting at verse 8 and running through to verse 37. Let's watch this together and follow along now.
It's from 2 Kings chapter 4. Verses 8 through 36, the Shunammite's son restored to life. One day Elisha went to Shunam, and a well-to-do woman was there, who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he passed by, he stopped there to eat. She said to her husband, I know that this man, who often comes our way, is a holy man of God. Let's make a small room on the roof and put it in it a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp for him. Then he can stay there whenever he comes to us. One day when Elisha came, he went up to his room and lay down there. He said to his servant Gehazi, call the Shunammite. So he called her, and she stood before him. Elisha said to him, tell her, what have you have gone to all this trouble for us. Now what can be done for you? Can we speak on behalf of the king to your commander of the army? She replied, I have a home among my own people. What can be done for her? Elisha asked. Gehazi said, she has no son and her husband is old. Then Elisha said, call her. So he called her and she stood in the doorway. About this time next year, Elisha said, you will hold a son in your arms. No, my lord, she objected. Please, man of God, don't mislead your servant. But the woman became pregnant, and the next year, about the same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elijah had told her. The child grew, and one day went out to his father, who was with the reapers. He said to his father, my head, my head. His father told a servant, carry him to his mother. After the servant had lifted him up and carried him to his mother, the boy sat on her lap until noon. And then he died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, and then shut the door and went out. She called her husband and said, please send me one of the servants and a donkey, so I can go to the man of God quickly and return. Why go to him today? He asked. It's not the new moon or the Sabbath. That's all right, she said. She saddled the donkey and said to her servant, lead on, don't slow down for me unless I tell you. So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. When he saw her in the distance, the man of God said to his servant Gehazi, look, there's the Shunammite. Run to meet her and ask her, Are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right? Everything is all right, she said. When she reached the man of God at the mountain, she took hold of his feet. Gehazi came over to push her away, but the man of God said, leave her alone. She is in bitter distress, but the Lord has hidden it from me, and I do not know why. Did I ask for a son, my Lord? She said, didn't I tell you? Don't raise my hopes. Elisha said to Gehazi, tuck your cloak into your belt, take my staff in your hand and run. Don't greet anyone you meet, and if anyone greets you, do not answer. Lay my staff on the boy's face. But the child's mother said, as surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you. So he got up and followed her. Gehazi went on ahead and laid the staff on the boy's face, but there was no sound or response. So Gehazi went back to meet Elisha and told him, the boy has not awakened. When Elisha reached the house, there was the boy lying on his couch. He went in, shut the door on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. Then he got on the bed and lay on the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands. As he stretched himself out on him, the boy's body grew warm. Elisha turned away and walked back and forth in the room, and then got onto the bed and stretched out on him once more. The boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Elisha summoned Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. And he did. When she came, he said, take your son. She came in, fell at his feet and bowed to him on the ground. And then she took her son and went out.
So each week through this summer, we're going to be using the example of a character in the Old Testament to see how, despite their flaws, they were used by God. And today, it's the woman from Shunem. She encounters Elisha, and pretty quickly, she realizes that there's something different about this man. He's being used to call people back to following God, to encourage them to worship God again, even though there are lots of idols, things that aren't God, that are drawing people's attention away from the one true God. This lady honors Elisha. It's likely that she's well off. She might have been influential in that time. And she sees that he's a man of God, someone that's devoted to following God and to calling others to do the same. And so she honors him for that. She shows him hospitality with food. She builds a room for him in her house because she wants him to always have a place to stay. And the implication through that is that she's not just honoring Elisha, but that she's honoring the God that Elisha serves, because there's something in his life and there's something in this God that she wants to find out more about. Now, as is often the case when we're shown great hospitality, we want to repay it in some way. And so Elisha says, well, what can I do for you? And nothing really comes to the surface until the servant Gehazi says, this lady doesn't have a son. Now, in this culture, at this time, a son was a way of your family line being continued. It was a way of your inheritance being passed on to them and your lineage being carried on even after you died. To not have a son was a source of incredible shame in that society. And so Elisha's full of faith, prophesies to this lady and says, in 1 year's time, you will have a son in your arms. And the Shunammite woman says, no. She says, don't lift my hopes. Don't raise my expectations. It's likely to have been a great source of pain for her. And she basically says, Elisha, no. And this is what she got wrong. This is the flaw that we're going to explore. Nothing is impossible for God. There is no thing that God is unable to do. God laughs at our philosophical conundrums of unstoppable forces and immovable objects. God is the one that threw the whole cosmos together out of nothing at a word. God is the chain-breaking, walk-out-of-jail-free God. He's the sea-parting God. He's the miraculously multiplying God. God is the God who can call barrenness into life. And this woman, for whatever her experience was, didn't want that to be true. The pain was too real of that not having been the case before. But in so doing, she shut that aspect of God down and said, there's something God can't do. He can't provide for me. There is nothing that is impossible with God. Do not today believe a lie that God is in any way limited. Don't believe a lie that there's something that God isn't able to do, not just in the lives of other people, other holy people over there, but there's nothing that God cannot do in your life either. Do not let that lie that says God doesn't want to, God's not willing to, God's not able to, don't let that lie take root in your life. Nothing is impossible with God. Now, this lady's unbelief, it didn't stop the prophecy coming true. This lady's lack of conviction in this God that she was exploring and Elisha was serving, it didn't stop the baby coming to be born. A year later, she did have a baby in her arms. Your lack of belief, her lack of belief, didn't stop God from providing. But it did mean that she wasn't seeing God correctly in her life. And that's what God wants for us, to know who he really is, to see him with 100% HD vision, in all the clarity, all the wonder, all the beauty of his nature. God could work in spite of her unbelief, but he wants her belief, and he wants our belief too. God is so gracious. He is such a loving father that even the times when we don't believe him, he might still provide anyway. Even though this lady didn't believe that it was possible that she would conceive in a year, she still held the baby in her arms and had the promise realized. Her flaw did not stop God's faithfulness, his gracious gift being given to her anyway. There's an account in the Gospel of Matthew where it talks about Jesus, and a verse in Matthew 13 says this: and he, Jesus, did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. Now think about that. Jesus goes to his hometown and there isn't much faith in Jesus there. They don't believe that he is the Messiah. They don't really believe that he is this long promised savior. And it says that because of that, he was not able to do many miracles there. Note that it doesn't say he wasn't able to do any miracles there. There's something about the faith that we put in Jesus that makes him more able to respond to our prayers. There's something about an atmosphere of faith being created in people's lives and in the life of a community like St. Philip's that encourages God, that brings him in, that says, God, you're welcome here to do anything you like. Even with our unbelief, God is able to do miraculous, wonderful, supernatural things. But he doesn't want our view of him to be limited, inaccurate, false. And so he wants our belief anyway. If there's something impossible in your life today, an impossible scenario, a situation that's had you stumped for ages, if it's something that you know God would want to intervene in, if it's in line with his nature, his character, his word, nothing is impossible for God. And I challenge you to ask him for that impossible thing today and see what happens. Charles Spurgeon, the famous Baptist preacher, says about this story: the man who lives in the region of faith dwells in the realm of miracles. You are sent into the world not to do the things which are possible to man, but the impossibilities which God worketh by his Spirit, by the means of his believing people. Our passage continues to show what then happens, and it shows the reality of the battle that we all face. This child who was born to her miraculously, tragically dies. Sometimes, as painful as it is for us, even the things that God births can still die. the good things that we've prayed for and God has provided to us might still be stolen or killed or destroyed by the enemy who ravages against us. But what do we see this Shunammite woman doing in response to that scenario? She puts the boy on the bed that she'd created and made room for Elisha, and she goes back to the man of God. It's about a 25-mile journey. She pushes past people that try and get in her way. She goes straight to the man himself and basically says, "You've got to do something. You've got to get involved again." It's almost as if the faith that rose in her as God provided for the first time meant that she went back to the man of God the second time and said, "Do it again. I've seen you do it once. I know you can do it again. Even though this boy is now dead, I believe that you can bring him back to life." And so Elisha comes. Elisha prays, and Elisha sees this boy return to life. He'd come once out of barrenness, and now he was coming back out of death. What an amazing testament to God's power, to God's care, to God's ability. And I believe that there might be some of you here today who had that thing provided by God, and then somehow it went awry. Something went wrong with it, and you left it there. Now, this remarkable woman shows persistence, shows determination to believe once, but then to believe again. And I want to be part of a community of faith here at St. Philip's that says nothing is impossible for God. I'll believe once, and then I will believe again. Remember that this woman started in disbelief that God was able to do it once, and now she's going back, knocking on the door again, asking God to provide one more time. There's an account a few chapters later on that we don't have time to read now, but we see the same pattern there. A famine comes and she goes back and says, "I want you to provide anyway." She's not willing to accept a situation which isn't in line with God's will. The faith that's grown in her enables her to go back to God and say, "You've done it once. Do it again in my life. Believe and then believe again." Some of you tuning in right now don't believe, or maybe you're not sure whether God could intervene in your situation. Empty bank balance, addiction, dead-end situation, relational breakdown. Believe that nothing is impossible for God. Despite your flaws, despite everything that you've done, God is able to provide, and he wants to provide because he loves you. He wants to transform you more into his image, which is the fullness of life itself. You might have been praying for something to change for a little while and nothing seems to be happening. Believe today that nothing is impossible for God. Knock and knock and knock again on that door and know that God will provide according to his perfect will and his immense timing. Know today that nothing is impossible with God, despite your unbelief. Those areas of our hearts that don't quite believe that God could do it, or are just a little bit too scarred from previous life experience. Know today that God is the God of the impossible. And some of you might have seen that breakthrough, had that miraculous provision, seen that transformation that could only come from God alone. And I want you to use today that faith to come back to God and say, "God, you did it once. Please do it again. God, you did it in that thing. Could you do it over there as well? God, you did that one slightly smaller thing. I'm now going to believe you for more." What I'm praying for you today is that a momentum of faith might be built up in your life that sees God do one thing, and the faith that that gives you enables you to go and see many more things come to be because of the miraculous, the supernatural, the wonder-working God that we serve. Nothing is impossible for God. Believe and believe again. Amen.